Hail Cheaters, this is Josh Brandon talking Euro 2020 and anything else that may come up. It is, and just as a reminder, we're just doing these on our phone, just kind of quick check-ins during the off-season. So, Brandon, did you watch the Ukraine? Well, how are you, Brandon? And did you watch the Netherlands-Ukraine match?
Josh, it is just Denzel Dumfries world, and I'm just figuring out how to live inside of it.
It's not that keeper's world, that's for sure. That Ukrainian keeper, he had a lot of time to judge the arc of that ball and get down and get it. I'm no goalkeeping expert, but I feel like he might have been able to do more on that.
I feel like you see a lot of old goalkeepers in international tournaments. I think because it's kind of like, I've paid my dues. I'm this country's number one.
Yeah. And I mean, Strecklenburg, right? He's
precisely. And the older you get, Josh, we can speak from personal experience, the harder it is to get low. And to ask these lumbering old goalkeepers with the number one shirts to get low for shots like that, it's just too much to ask. Also, a shocking number of bodies flying into goalposts today. Harry Kane almost broke a few ribs.
The Kane one was bad. Yeah.
I guess we should be thankful for that Netherlands-Ukraine game, because this tournament, and most international tournaments, could be marked by just like dour performances,
a lot of 1-0s.
Yeah, exactly. So that was a really exciting second half. You can't be mad. If you're Dutch, maybe you're mad at Frank de Boer. I hope we got a lot of Dutch people in the chat today. I want to talk smack about Frank de Boer. But otherwise, I mean,
Atlanta FC's Frank de Boer.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, so from this weekend, Josh, which match besides Netherlands Ukraine jumped out at you?
That's a good question. I watched parts of all of them. I have family in town this weekend, so I'm like struggling suddenly to remember who played yesterday.
Well, yesterday, I guess we should mention right at the outset, yesterday will kind of be the story of the tournament with Christian Eriksen, horrible scenes. I don't know that we really need to say anything about it, because it's all being said by people of more importance than us. But watching matches after that incident with Christian Eriksen, and you see like stands at 25% capacity, I don't want to take away from what we're about to talk about for the next 30 to 45 minutes.
But I mean, the match we just saw was great. We should talk about that in a second. But I mean, the Eriksen thing, I mean, it is the story of Euro so far. Yeah. I mean, it was really incredible. It's the kind of thing that even my family, who are not major watchers of international football, I mean, even they were riveted, you know. And we don't talk about the actual clip, but that was, I was watching that when it happened. I don't know if you were as well, but it was really haunting. I mean, it was really just like, I kind of couldn't believe what I was seeing, you know. It was pretty remarkable.
Well, and what was striking about it was, if an incident like that happens, the odds are it's going to happen off the ball. And that he collapsed when the ball was coming to him just really kind of accentuated, like, oh my, something very wrong has happened here. So it is kind of interesting to me to talk about it as a TV event, as gross as that sounds. But
that's how the whole world
is consuming these tournaments, is on TV broadcast. And then how do you handle it? And that I thought was, it's incredible to see how the fans and the teams reacted, where they know they're so conscious of the fact that they're being watched, that they crowded around Christian so that he, while people were saving his life, could have his privacy. And then even when he was coming off the field. So it's just
you played yourself. I mean, not professionally, but you played, in club teams and things like that for a long time. Did you ever have a situation that you can remember where somebody got really injured on the pitch?
I played on a team where somebody did their ACL, but that's that an injury like that, like you see so many weekends watching the Premier League, is it's usually a non-contact thing, and it's not dramatic in right. when it happens, and the player, you know, they even though it's
kind of walking on their own.
It's like emotionally painful when they know that they're not going to really be able to be fit to play for months and months and months and months. But I've never ever seen anyone say even lose consciousness. I don't know if I've ever seen anyone concussed on the field.
I feel like I've seen that, because I remember that happening to Didier Drogba. Like, God, it must be 7 or 8 years ago now. But I remember that happened in the second half of a Chelsea match. That was really intense. I remember there's like 13 minutes of extra time, I remember, after that. I think
people concussed a TV broadcast. I was thinking more like in person. But
In person. Oh, sorry. Okay, great. Got it. Yeah. And of course, even like NFL, people get concussed like every 20 minutes. So yeah.
I, Josh, just walk into the corner store could get concussed. It's really.
Well, let's invite somebody up to talk.
If anyone
20 with us. Yeah.
Yeah. For those listening on the podcast, we've got some people who are going to join us on the stage, and we'll have some a chat with them. If you want to join us in future Locker Room chats, we do these every week. You can download the Locker Room app for iOS and join us. So, yeah, anyone who's listening out there who wants to join, just hit the speaker request button. And if you don't, I'm going to call on you like a terrible professor.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Right. That's crazy.
I'm going to do that.
Very intense.
I'm going to do exactly that to our friend James, who he's always good for some incisive commentary. So, James, welcome to the stage. Have you been enjoying the Euros so far this weekend?
I have been, though I was not watching the game with Erickson. I was at the pool with the kiddos, sitting by the pool, and literally my Apple Watch started blowing up with people asking me, like, what's happening? What's going on? I was like, I don't know. I'm at the pool. I don't know what you're talking about.
That was an incredible free ad for Apple Watches right there, James. So Apple contact us, please.
a bonus plug.
This is the thing. James, go ahead, James.
The people who contacted me were people like my grandmother, who like doesn't know anything about soccer. Who's just like, what's happening? I hear something crazy is happening in this major soccer game.
Yeah. That's summertime for you. There's really not much else going on besides Denmark playing Finland. So the grandmas of the world had their antennas
up. It's too bad too, because it was Finland's debut. I mean, I'm still surprised that they played the game that night. And you know, I feel like there was a lot of moralizing around everything that happened yesterday. And I'd like tried not to indulge in that too much because I feel like it's sort of like I don't know what's in these players' heads. Like, you know, if the Denmark players wanted to play, then so be it. You know, like, I don't think there's anything like morally wrong with that necessarily.
Well, and I saw some reporting, Josh, that Eriksen FaceTimed his teammates from the hospital and asked them to play.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true, but I did see that reporting from like some credible reporters.
I heard that too. And so I also heard he may never play again, which is such a sad thing to think.
About what happened to Francis Muamba, another former Spurs player. When he was on Bolton, he collapsed on the field, and that was the end of his career. He survived, thank goodness. But it's kind of mind-numbing, the fork in the road there for somebody in Christian Eriksen's position, in that you're playing at the top of your field, I guess, for lack of a better phrase. And suddenly it's kind of a life or death decision. You have to quit the game and the profession that you love and you're probably born to do, or you could die. And that's terrifying.
All right, let's get off the death then. I mean, we talk about death a lot on the podcast.
I'm gonna invite Daniel up to speak, because I saw in the chat he was talking about Italy, and I think if there has been, well, I think it's an interesting question, which is the one team so far after this weekend's matches that has actually impressed? And Daniel, I think Italy is at the front of your mind.
Oh, yeah, just because they served me so well in fantasy, too. But Josh doesn't want to hear about that, huh?
Yeah. I'm on a break.
No, I think it's Italy and Belgium. I mean, they're way ahead. And honestly, even though Netherlands won, that game was a little embarrassing after the
substitutions.
But going back to Belgium, I agree with you, Daniel. It's incredible just how Lukaku put that team on his shoulders. Basically, no Eden Hazard, no Kevin De Bruyne, yet still they put three past Russia. I mean, we could say Russia is not the best competition for them in their first match, but yeah, like it. Does anyone know if De Bruyne is going to get back into the starting lineup for Belgium during this tournament?
I was just about to ask that.
Undoubtedly, right? I mean, you know, if he's able to. I mean, you know, thankfully it's like an orbital bone in his head, right? So he should, in theory. I have you guys heard? It's kind of funny. It's like everyone's getting so banged up right now, but I've heard he may have to be like Peter Cech style, like wear a protective headgear for the rest of his career.
Kind of like what Rüdiger was wearing.
Yeah, I think bigger than that, actually.
More like a scrum helmet, like you might wear in rugby.
Oh, I gotcha.
You know, actually, I might be thinking of Raul Jimenez. Actually, I might be grouping those two together. A lot of head injuries right now.
Maybe they should all be wearing hats, helmets.
If it's an orbital bone, it would be like around his eyes, so he'd have to wear like one of those masks like NBA players wear, right?
Yeah,
like Kurt Rambis.
Yeah. Rip Hamilton. Yeah,
Wasn't it Joel Embiid had to wear one for like an entire season or something?
Yeah, Bill Ambeer wore one in the early 1990s. So, yeah, lots of it's a great history, and you look like a serial killer too. So there's kind of a fun.
I was thinking Zorro, but sure, we go with that.
So what did everyone think about England's performance today? You know, going back to our point about it was quintessential drab international tournament fare, 1-0. I was legitimately blown away by Calvin Phillips's performance. I thought he looked tremendous, probably his best performance in an England shirt in his young England career. And then Sterling, right? Sterling will get all the headlines.
I mean, absolutely. Is Phillips the James Rodriguez Memorial Player of the Game or Player of the Tournament? Like, he's going to get a move to Manchester United for 100,000
pounds. He is good, though. I mean,
£100 million.
He's been a pleasure to watch for Leeds this year. I mean, I was actually thinking about him earlier because the role that he plays, it's a little bit like the role of like a safety in the NFL, where it's. You know, you're just sort of like you have to do a lot of different things, you know, sort of read the pitch really well, read the field in case of safety. But it's also the kind of position where you get injured all the time. And I feel like that's like where he is right now, where it's like when he's healthy, he really made Leeds tick. And I was actually really impressed that he got in there, that he got into the squad, because I know that there was a little bit of doubt about whether he would. I think that. Who would have played this place?
Jordan Henderson, maybe?
Jordan Henderson, right, yeah. Right. And that would have been premature, right? I mean, Henderson hasn't played. Did he come on for like a minute at the end of Liverpool's final?
Yeah, to miss a penalty, of course. Right. So I think that probably didn't help his chances. It was reminiscent of when Kyle Beckerman was the U.S. men's national team safety in our last World Cup appearance.
Right, yeah.
Kyle Beckerman vibes.
To briefly interrupt you, George, if you want to come join us, you can hit that little invite to speak button there. So just wanted to be inclusive, Brandon. Invite everyone on.
Yeah. I think you do have to give Southgate credit for the Calvin Phillips pick. I mean, he starts him today, but Phillips was in the England squad even before Leeds had played a minute in the Premier League. So Southgate had sort of sniffed him out very early on in his sort of like top flight career. So, you know, you've got to give Southgate credit for something.
And you know, according to FPL Twitter, it's coming home after today because they beat Croatia, and three of the last four teams to beat Croatia have gone on to win their major tournament. Like in a major tournament, if you beat Croatia, you win the tournament. Apparently,
It was a revenge match because Croatia was the squad that knocked England out in the semifinals in the France World Cup. There, the French won World Cup. So, yeah, that tracks. That tracks, James.
Well, and it didn't help that Luka Modric talked so much trash before the game.
Yeah. I mean, probably not very smart, Luka. I mean, that squad looked a little over the hill today. I mean, they didn't look terrible, but Even though it was a very sober 1-0, England, they were always going to win that match from my estimation.
They never looked uncomfortable, is the way that I would describe it. They also never put it into second gear. They were stuck in third gear the whole game.
Yeah,
except for a one basketball inbound play.
So looking ahead to the next couple of days, I was looking at Monday and Tuesday's matches. We actually really have some great matches coming up. I'm kind of low-key interested in the Scotland-Czech Republic match tomorrow. Mm-hmm, I think that'll be kind of fun. I'll see if my boy Shea Adams can keep it going, Brandon.
why not?
Yeah. And
you have him in the goal scorer challenge, Josh? We haven't talked about that. That's the one quasi-fantasy game we've selected to play this tournament.
Yeah, let's get to that in just a second here. But Hungary-Portugal on Tuesday, and then Germany-France is the final group stage match, the final first round of group stage matches. And that's Tuesday afternoon. That is put the kids to bed, Brandon. Nice and early. Yeah.
yeah. Right. 3 in the afternoon. All right, everyone, it's bedtime. Shut the lights off.
Kids to bed, my friend. So, yeah, goal score challenge has been fun. It is true that I'm such a sports optimist, Brandon, that I went into this goal score challenge thing and I was like, all right, so 50 games. You got to just pick one player to score a goal in every game. And I was like, I'm going to go 50 for 50. This is too easy. There aren't that many matches. mm-hmm. And I think I went 0 for 4 to start. I was totally off. I got way too cute with every pick. I was going for Italy, we're clearly the team to pick from. I picked a forward from Turkey. And I was like, he was the starting forward for Lyon. And I was like, well, they just won the French league. He's going to be on fire. I should bring him in. So I got a goal from Wolf Weghorst today.
Nice.
And then I had Lukaku yesterday. So how are you doing so far? What's your thoughts so far on the goal score challenge thing? It's kind of fun.
Well, I have 3 goals thus far. One is from Lukaku. The other is from Arnautovic. And then the third one, I frankly have no memory of who scored it.
Was it from Italy?
It wasn't Italy. Because I actually missed the deadline for the Italy match. So that was a goose egg right out of the gate. So I've still got Immobile in my back pocket. I didn't realize to start that once you pick a goal scorer from a particular team, you cannot pick them a second time. Which of course makes sense. Otherwise you'd just be picking CR7, every week.
Sure.
So I picked Memphis Depay for this Netherlands match, and he's, there are 3 goals. He doesn't score any of them, and now he's off the board for me. And that is frustrating with the goal scorer challenges. If you pick a marquee goal scorer and they do nothing, then they're totally off the board for the rest of the tournament. So that's a wrinkle that, of course, makes it an interesting game. But to figure that out was shocking to me.
It's a different perspective. I am enjoying. Yeah, I mean, I guess the other kind of corollary to this is, how are you feeling about not playing any kind of fantasy right now? I mean, the goal scorer count challenge to me is just a fun way to stay engaged. Yeah. To me, that's not a proper fantasy sport. I mean, are you missing it? Do you feel left out in any way, or how are you feeling about that?
Well, I definitely do not miss it. Do I feel left out? I feel left out insofar as, the online, particularly on social media, drill it down to Twitter. Why don't we? Lots of great people on there. And I kind of don't have anything to talk about with them at this time. So it's less that I want to talk about fantasy with them. It's more it's sort of like a friend. You meet up with an old friend and you realize you no longer have anything in common. If we were to have that phenomenon just for the summer, that's kind of what I'm feeling like right now.
Yeah, I feel like I got a little burned. World Cup 2018, I felt like I spent a ton of time learning all of these random players. I learned players from South American leagues, and I was studying up and learning defenders, and it was just a lot. And then you get yourself ready, you set up this this team, you have to learn the new rules of a new game too, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then Chile or whatever gets knocked out 3 games in, you're like, wait, so I just spent like 8 hours like reading about the Chilean national team. And just like,
I mean, that is the cool thing for people like you and me, Josh, who are like, we're very focused on one particular league, the Premier League. International tournaments are a fun moment to be introduced to.
Break it up a little bit.
Yeah. You break that up, and also you just get to see players that you've heard about from other leagues actually play on the pitch. Or, I'm not talking about the Lewandowskis who you'll see in a Champions League match, but just other random players, which is cool. But
Wolf Weghorst, Brandon, I mean, there you go, right there.
He's the guy. I mean, bring him to City. Forget Erling Haaland. He's yesterday's man. But if it's the summertime, if we're meant to be kind of like taking it easy, chilling out with a Coors Light, as I like to say, I feel like the Euro fantasy game should be less taxing. Like it seems to be like a version of the Bundesliga fantasy game that we played last summer when Bundesliga beat the Premier League out of COVID lockdown. But it's like, to change your captains around, picking people off the bench, I need to be less active during the summer. And I feel like there needs to be some sort of balance of enjoying the tournament.
I know. It's always just funny about you, though, because I feel like you're always, like, exhausted. And I'm like, I don't even know what you do. Like, I know what you're doing all the time.
Well,
I don't have time for this.
So I'm actually playing this year for the first time. It's the first time I've ever done non-FPL. And I actually like that you can change out the subs because there's less – and captain, because there's less pressure to get your team right before match day. Like, this player didn't return as my captain. Okay, I'm just going to switch it to Lukaku. Guess what? He scored. Okay, he's got 20 points. He's locked in. I'm not going to – they're also not – there's no bonus, so there's no worry about, like, oh, well, this defender in this 0-0 draw, he's going to get the points because he had one extra clearance than everybody else.
Right. You're like, you're looking at like misplayed passes. And you're like, oh, well, there's two in a row. Like,
right. It's just, and I don't know that honestly, the Slack, I'm going to, give a free pitch to the Slack. It's been a ton of fun.
That's inbounds, James, the always cheating Slack. Go to patreon.com/always cheating. We can even work a plug into the locker room.
That was a soft Slack. That was a very, very soft. I like that.
So I've had a ton of fun. I feel like no pressure is on.
Wow. James, I feel like you very, diplomatically put me in my place there. We argue about this all the time.
I was just saying that, like, nobody on the Patreon seems to be taking it very seriously, and so that makes me feel like I don't have to take it seriously. If Patreon were taking it seriously, then I probably would.
I can't do that though. I can't I don't know. Like, I feel like I really have a hard time being like half involved in that kind of stuff. I feel like I tend to kind of go overboard. Like, there's no, like, I can't like, I can't like run the valve. Like,
no half measures. Like,
I can't just get a little bit of water out of the faucet. You know, it's gotta be like full blast.
Wow.
You see me do dishes, Brandon. It's
Image. That is an image, Josh. Just like an uncontrollable fire hose in your hands.
So, all right.
I want to come back to this point, though, that you want to know what I'm doing all day. We have this argument all the time, Josh. You ask me how my weekend was, and I say, I ran a few errands. And your favorite line is, I don't know when an errand is. I've never had to do one. And I hope to never find out, or something like that.
I'm sure I've had an errand before. I just can't remember ever having one. I have to be honest with you. I have a kid, though. A kid is like having like 100 errands every day. You
know? that is true. And I think James should be our model of the summer, because James is chilling out, having fun with the Euro fantasy game while also taking his kids to the pool. I mean, James, you seem to have it all figured out. How do you balance it all?
I don't know. my wife making the decisions.
Excellent. All right. Yeah, the grass is always greener, says Brandon. All right. So, sorry, James, what were you saying?
No, I said just let the wife make the decisions about the pool and stuff, and I'll just go along.
I mean, I'm all for going with the flow. That is the way to be. Yeah. Absolutely.
Brendan, I would say you're a wife guy. I think that's a fair thing, fair assessment.
Yeah, you know, that's not a bad thing, but I'm
definitely
probably qualify as a wife guy. Any other takeaways from the Euros this weekend so we can get back to the footy chat, or is it mostly just sort of like cracking open that bottle of red and letting it breathe in anticipation of France, Germany?
I guess if I had a final thought, it would just be that, I mean, the Eriksson thing aside, it's been really fun just to have, I do agree with James about the stakes in general, which is just that it's fun to watch a tournament that is being taken seriously, that, you know, that like clearly the, you know, there are more fans in the stands, the players are competing hard, they really want to win. But as a fan, as a person just watching the sport, I don't feel hugely invested, but I love having it on, you know? So it's just been fun to have like soccer on, you know, or football, whatever, that like I'm not obsessively tracking every minute of it, you know, like the way I do during the Premier League all season, where I'm just like, you know, not a minute goes by that I'm not like kind of keeping an eye on what's happening, you know? So
yeah.
To just kind of casually watch matches all day, that's been a blast. And I'm like, I want to like bottle up this feeling and like bring it into next season, you know, that sort of like, just like that, take it easy. I mean, Brandon, the Eagles said it first and best, didn't they? You know, so just take it easy.
Living it up in the Hotel California.
Yeah, I don't want to be a desperado anymore.
Yeah, a little teaser for everyone out there listening. Sowing the seeds, the Cheaters are going to be launching the new Premier League season live from a little town called Las Vegas. Las Bloody Vegas. More details coming soon, but with our Blue Wire family, we're going to be up to some cool stuff in Las Vegas to start the Premier League season, which is going to be awesome.
All right, Brendan, shall we head off?
Yeah, let's do it, Josh. Great talking with you. Thanks to James and Daniel and everyone else who joined us in the locker room. And we'll talk to you again next week. And I guess we should say for people listening on the podcast feed, these informal chats are super fun. Regular podcasts will be coming back to your feed when we start prepping for the new FPL season.
Yeah, very soon. Brendan, always, every time we go off for a while, I'm like, oh, yeah, let's take a nice long break. And then I start getting antsy right around this time. Yeah. I'm like, Brandon, we need to start again. We need to start.
You're like that guy in the Hurt Locker, Jeremy Renner.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
You're looking at cereal boxes at the grocery store, and you're just like, exactly. Nothing matters unless I'm playing FBL.
I know, exactly. So, all right, man. Well, I will talk to you and everybody else soon. Bye.
All right, Poku forever.